I am shorter than David. You know, Palm Sunday, it's a beautiful church tradition, right? And it's, if you realize, it appears in the lectionary. Together with many believers throughout the world, I think we are celebrating Palm Sunday. And I thought we will just watch a video first, you know, just to get a feel. I would encourage you, right, just visit Jerusalem. You know, God opens an opportunity for you, go and visit, because when you visit, you'll realize how powerful the place is, right? You will see a lot of stones. You'll see a lot of stones. I think Catherine and Victor, right, probably you saw a lot of stones there. Right here, we see a lot of snow here, and there we see another S, which is called stones. You know, but it reminds us a lot of things. And I just want you to get a feel, right, you know, how when Jesus was walking through the road towards the city called Jerusalem, you know, the feeling, because it was the time during the time of Passover. The crowds were gathering around, the excitement, the energy was there, the noise, you know, people were just making a lot of noise, kids running around screaming, you know, people were just buying, trading, a lot of stuff was happening. Just let's get a feel, and I'm going to ask Sam to just put it for us. When you were looking at the video, I believe you would have seen some, you know, some expressions that were seen. We would see a large crowd of people, right? There was a lot of noise that was happening. Some were just smiling through. Some were just looking at Jesus and saying, "Hosanna, save us," right? "Rescue us, Lord. Help us, Lord." That's the meaning of Hosanna. And so they were just shouting. And when people were just rushing through, I think you would have seen the disciples, right? Probably they were just thinking, "What's happening?" Right? "What's happening?" Because we thought we are there for something else. You know, what's happening? And then at the same time, you also saw the Pharisees or even the Sadducees, the zealots sitting, talking, "What is this man trying to do?" Right? "He's trying to change the world upside down," kind of a thing. And so when you look at these passages, the passage that was just read to us, I think I was just trying to see Palm Sunday on a different perspective, right? From a different perspective. And Jesus was walking, how people were just responding to the way Jesus was walking, and what was just happening in the hearts of people. At the same time, some of the takeaways, right, in terms of Palm Sunday. And the more I look at the picture, right, the more I tend to ask this question: what kind of Jesus do we long for? Some were shouting, "Hosanna," right? "Save us, Lord. Rescue us, because we need deliverance. The Romans are just after us. We are under their leadership. We want freedom. We want you to save us. Hosanna." And there were others who were just hoping that this man will come and help us, because we need help. We need help. Right? And similarly, when we look at our Christian life, many a times, what kind of Jesus do we long for? I think we need to ask ourselves, right? Many a times we tell ourselves, "No, this is what I long for. This is what I want to see in Jesus. And this is the kind of Jesus that I want in my life." When you try to get a present, you tell yourself, "This should be this color, this pattern, this type, this price, this model, and this is what I want." Similarly, what kind of Jesus do we long for? Right? To some people, right, we want Jesus who is just loving, he's kind, he's wonderful, the good side of Jesus Christ. I just want that. I want Jesus to always understand me, right? And always forgive me, always care for me. There are people who long Jesus to be doing great things in their life. "I want Jesus to heal me, to do a great miracle in my life. That's all I need, nothing else. I don't want him to talk against my sin. He should always be found forgiving me," right? And so what's happening? We tend to reduce Jesus Christ, because this is what I need, this is what I like, and this is what I want, and this is how I want Jesus to be. Right? So that when I look at the crowds were just screaming, because that's what they wanted Jesus to do. Right? They wanted Jesus to redeem. They wanted Jesus to help. The disciples wanted Jesus on a different wave, my friends. And so today, as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of Jesus do we long for? What kind of Jesus, when we come to service, what are we looking to get from Jesus? What's our desire? Right? What are we looking to Jesus? Is it a God who just fulfills my need? I think one of the scariest things, I think we tend to reduce Jesus. Right? We want to reduce Jesus because that's what we need. But I want to just, look at this particular passage and to see why. What can we see about this Jesus? Right? And also to leave this place with a changed mindset. Right? It's not that kind of Jesus I want. I want the Jesus which is seen in the Bible. Right? When you look at the journey, firstly, I want to look at the journey. Look at the passages very carefully. Today's passage is in John. I was looking at the passages very carefully. John talks about it, like Matthew talks about it, Luke talks about it. Can you imagine? Each and every gospel writers, including Zechariah, talks about it. you know, they were just talking in detail. So Jesus is telling the disciples, you know, go and get a young donkey for me because I need it. Right? And so he tells them which way, which path to take, which road to take. And so they went exactly to the house, and he tells them, you know, when you go into the house, this is the question is this, the man is going to ask you, and you say the master needs it. And they went, the exact question was asked, the master needs it, you know, and it was given. And Jesus just, you know, every detail is seen. They were putting their clothes in front, and they were putting palm leaves in front, you know, everything. Why the gospel writers, I always ask, why, you know, Mark has to spend, you know, just describing each and every detail, right? I don't need to know they were just spreading the palm leaves. That's not so important to me, right? I don't need to know, you know, that the disciple have to turn right, to turn left to the house and ask these questions. Does that really matter to me? Right? I don't need to know all these kinds of things. You know, if you look at it, the gospel writers are very, they are trying to go into very detail. Very detail. Why? Why? Even Zechariah speaks about it. I think it is to tell us something. You know, Mark or Matthew, John are trying to tell us, you know, that this is real, my friend. It is not a makeup story. It's real. It's real time. It's real Jesus. And this is King who is coming. Right? And so they want to be very careful in detail because they want to tell the world this happened in history. As Zechariah has prophesied that this man, the Messiah, will come. And this is real. It's not a fairy tale. And this is important. And this person is the real king. And Jesus is the appointed king and anointed king. And the king we, each and every one of us, are anticipating. He is the king. And this king, you know, and God marches, plan always marches on, my friend. God fulfills His plan. The disciples did not understand. The people around did not understand. Right? Even after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they were still struggling, shaking their head. What does it mean, Lord? It tells us that God has a plan, according to Zechariah. It will happen in real time, exact time that God wants us to see. I think the passage tells us that Jesus is the King. And God's plan marches on whatever it is in His time. God will always fulfill the plan that He has actually planned for us. And He knows what He's doing, my friend. Sometimes we might not understand, but God's plan always goes. He knows what He's doing, and He does it according to His time. Secondly, let's look at the disciples, right? You know, for a moment, I was just looking at the disciples. Can you imagine? They gave their all to Jesus, right? And if you realize, if you look at the passages very carefully, there was a time Peter answered, Lord, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us, right? So in other words, he was expecting something. Lord, in your kingdom, I might be the deputy prime minister, right? Or maybe another person is saying, no, Lord, I need to be the finance minister. And then in Mark, if you realize, you know, two disciples are coming and asking, Lord, you know, and saying, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. You know, that was in the mind of the disciples, right? Throughout their ministry, they were just having this in their mind. And even when Jesus rose from the dead in Acts chapter 1 verse 6, they were asking, what were they asking? Lord, when are you going at this time? When are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel? You know, that was in their mind. It's about power. It's about position. Lord, what is there for me? Right? I've given up my life for you. What is there for me? Lord, what are you going to give me? Right? And sometimes in our Christian life, that's what we expect. Lord, I've given my life for you. I'm serving you. I'm doing all this for you. Lord, what's there for me? What kind of blessing, O God, are you going to give me? And many times we tell what kind of blessings that we want. Probably I was thinking, you know, the disciples were just thinking like that. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus told them, you know, Jesus always speaks sometimes the strangest language. He tells them to bring the young donkey. Come on. It's not me, right? Lord, I am looking for a higher position. I want to be sitting at the right or left. But Jesus says, you know, you bring the young donkey. That's what I want. Probably I was thinking, you know, Peter would have been just frustrated. You know, he might have said, you know, Andrew, why don't you go? Right? Or maybe he would have said, you know, so and so, you go there. Right? But Jesus is just telling them, you know, you go and bring the donkey. And then you just follow me. Can you imagine? Jesus is sitting on a young donkey and you are just pulling the donkey. And people are just saying, Jesus! Hosanna! And none of them are appreciating the disciples. Right? Probably Peter was looking at others to that they will have some good words, but none of them were least bothered about the disciples. And they were just dragging. And who's getting all the popularity? Jesus! Who's getting all the glory? It's Jesus, right? Who's getting all the good names? It's Jesus. People, Jesus has been served, you know. I have given my life, Lord, for you, and I'm not getting anything, right? I've given my life for you. Lord, when are you going to restore the kingdom? I thought that probably the disciples would have actually thought like that. Though in the movie, in the clip, you know, you see them smiling, right? Just pulling the donkey, it's a very humbling job, my friend. And you don't want to be, you know, you want to be in a almost like an equal position with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there are some things that we learn from that, right? There is a greater kingdom than we think. We realize, you know, many times we think, you know, this is what I want. Lord, I serve you, I love you, and I do this, and this is what I want. But God says, no, this is not what I want to give you. I want to give you a greater kingdom. A greater kingdom when I come and establish in this world, right? As human beings, we want God to bless us now, immediately, and this is what I want. But God says, you know, I want to bless you much more. Peter, I want to bless you more than what you wanted, right? Andrew, I want to bless you not on just ordinary things. I want to bless you much more greater in the kingdom of God. You know, we realize, you know, the passage tells me, I think it tells us, right, sometimes as human beings, we just want temporal blessings. I'm not saying that you shouldn't ask God for blessings. But God says, no, I want to give you greater blessing than you ever think, my friend. And not only that, when you look at this, the disciples, I think one thing I realized, obedience and faith is important. It needs to be shown in action. If it's left, you go left. If it's right, you go right. If the question is asked, and this is the answer, and you give the answer that Jesus has taught you, right? And this is what God wants us. Obedience and faith is important to experience the kingdom of God. And that is what I think we are trying to learn from this particular passage. I appreciate, you know, the disciples, they were just obeying. They were faithful, right? They did. Though Jesus got everything, the glory and honor. As I said, John the Baptist said, Lord, you should increase and I should decrease in John chapter 3. He talks about it, right? And so, I think my friends, today, we live in a world, an age and time, right? We want blessings now. We want blessings. I'm not saying no, but God tells us many a times, you know, have a greater kingdom, greater blessing that you can ever imagine. I just need obedience. I need faith, right? I just want you to just stick on with me. Just follow me. Just follow me. My friend, I think it's worth following the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me finish with this. The crowd, right? I think we shouldn't miss the crowd, right? And then if you realize they were putting their cloak, right? It's just the a garment. It's an inner kind of a garment. It's a very loose inner kind of a garment, right? They were putting palm branches, right? Goodness, it shows, talks about goodness. It talks about victory, a victorious king coming back. No, in Asia, what's interesting, Palm Sundays, you know, I do not know the tradition here. In Asia, many a times, you know, every church, almost all the church, you know, members will gather outside the church and every person is given a palm branch, right? And we walk around, either around the community or the church, and we start singing Hosanna. And finally, everyone will walk into the church waving Hosanna, Hosanna. That's our tradition. And we come into the church and we start our worship services, right? So the crowd, can you imagine? This was the crowd was just shouting, Hosanna, save us, rescue us, help us now, Lord. Lord, we just pray. They were giving, you know, right? And they were also singing songs of joy. That's Hosanna is a song of joy. It's a song that is normally sung when people were just approaching Jerusalem. It was a Passover song, song of rejoicing, song of, you know, because that's an anticipation. The king is coming. And so there's a lot of joy happening, you know. But you realize something? This was the same crowd a week later, or just 5 days later, said, crucify him. They were shouting, Hosanna! Can you realize? They were so excited. They were just running after Jesus, right? And the next week, they were saying, crucify this man. We need Barabbas, the notorious guy. We need Barabbas to be saved. But what? But we need Jesus to be crucified. You know, I was asking, you know, why this crowd? You know, because I think they truly did not understand the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? They truly did not understand Jesus. Their concept of Jesus was different, my friend. Right? And I think that affected a week later. They said, crucify him. Sometimes in our Christian life too, right, what happens and we don't experience God's blessings. No, we don't see God opening a new door for us. We don't see things, you know. We begin to start questioning God and say, Lord, are you there? Lord? And what happens, you know, many a times, you know, not only we question, we just go downhill in terms of our spiritual walk, in our devotional life. In other words, we actually crucifying Christ. We are saying, you know, Lord, we don't need you. We don't need. They did not really understand the Lord Jesus Christ. They were looking for a Savior who will just save them, redeem them. Their concept of Jesus was this, my friend. Reduced. A deliverer who just delivers them. Right? Political freedom, not spiritual freedom. But whatever it is, I think Jesus is teaching us of this particular passage, the passages that he is the only Savior, my friend, who delivers us from our sins. He is the only Savior. They were saying, Hosanna, save us, Lord. They were singing at one hand, the other side they were crucifying him, right? Save us, save us. Today, my friend, Jesus is the only Savior who can, he's the only one who can actually save. Whether you like it or not, he's the only one. And I think the crowd reminds me that we need Jesus. The crowd tells me, I think we need the Lord Jesus Christ more than ever, my friend. Right? Not only for political freedom, but I think, you know, freedom that we need in our spirit, in our life, the things that we struggle in our life. Right? God says he's the only one who's able to give us freedom. Let me finish with the same question I asked you. What kind of Jesus do we long for today? What's your size of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it just based on your need, your want, right? Just a miracle doer, right? A moral teacher, a person who I want blessings, right? But whatever it is, the Lord says, I am the only Savior, and you need me to experience the greater kingdom of God, my friend. What kind of Jesus are we looking at? The crowd was looking at a different Jesus. The disciples were imagining a different Jesus. The Pharisees were looking at a different Jesus. The zealots were looking at a Jesus who will overthrow the Roman kingdom, right? The poor were looking for a liberating Jesus to liberate them. The blind were just leading Jesus to heal them. But what kind of Jesus do we want today, my friend? Let's pray. Take a moment to reflect on the question again. What kind of Jesus do you want today? You know, Jesus tells us, I want to give you a greater kingdom than mere blessing. I prepared something greater, more powerful, more wonderful than you can ever imagine. As fallen human beings, we always want something temporal. Good things. It's not wrong to have good things. But if that good thing is taken away from us, are we bold enough to say, Lord, that's fine with me, Lord, because I know when I'm in walking faithfully with you, I will experience a greater kingdom. Whatever your concept of Jesus is, let me tell you today, my friend, the Bible reminds me that Jesus is the only one who can forgive me. He's the only one who can wash my sin. He's the only one who can deliver me from the power of sin. And I need him every day, every moment of my life. I need this Jesus Christ. When they found that Jesus did not overthrow God's kingdom, the Roman kingdom, the people said, crucify him. We don't need him. He's useless to us. He's worthless to us. Sometimes we tend to do that, right? And God says, you know, my child, you need me. Father, we thank you. Though you knew the thoughts of the people of God, the crowds, the disciples. You knew the hearts of the Pharisees. You knew that the same people who shouted Hosanna with a powerful voice in a few days' time were screaming at the top of their voice, crucify him. Lord, you knew all these things are going to happen, Father. The same people are going to crucify you. But even then, Lord, you wanted to fulfill God's plan. To die on the cross for us, to love us. You took the route of God, the journey.
us, Lord, to seek Jesus and His kingdom. And all these things will be added to us. In Jesus' name we pray.